Yeah, I figured with all that bruh talk earlier with cheese bruh, we need to bring in Limp Bizkit. If you're gonna have a bruh talk, you gotta talk about Limp Bizkit, bruh. Also,
and,
it's
counterfeit.
I know it actually is a pretty relevant.
It's fake
to the conversation we're gonna have in a little bit here. Because you know you're freaking me out. You wear a mask. It's called counterfeit. We're gonna get into that in just a little bit. But I want to put a little button on the end of the conversation and get to some calls here because a couple people want to say some things about our dear senator and possibly Jim Troupas. But Senator Baldwin, I want to give you co-sponsors Algorithmic Accountability Act of 2022 to require new transparency and accountability for automated decision systems, and I think. This might actually help the situation rather than just going, Facebook's bad, Spotify bad, everything's bad because the algorithm.
Well, you're telling me that the senators that are sitting over the subcommittee on cybersecurity say, well, how do you Google? Isn't a good thing?
Might not be.
Might
but
not
at least
be.
Senator Baldwin.
It sounds like a great proposal.
She does yes, it is. And here's a quote from her. Too often, big tech's algorithms put profits before people, from negatively impacting young people's mental health to discriminating against people based on race, ethnicity, or gender, and everything in between. It's long past time for the American public and policymakers to get a look under the hood and see how these algorithms are being used and what next steps need to be taken to protect consumers. I am proud to support the Algorithmic Accountability Act of 2022 to take the first step in giving the folks of Wisconsin and our country transparency and accountability from big tech's harmful algorithms, because
that sounds good to me.
Yeah, I don't want people's First Amendment rights to be violated, but no. I also want people to be able to not have to have to be able to screen that stuff out if they want to, and maybe using those same algorithms that maybe help them to target things to you, also using those algorithms to maybe target your own experience so that you don't get a bunch of stuff that you don't want to see or don't need to see. Because
right.
I guarantee you, whenever I go on Facebook, they're trying to get me into an argument. It looks like they're trying to get me into an argument.
And there's been papers at Facebook that have come out, correspondence among high-level officials at Facebook that have pretty much indicated that conflict is one of the top mm-hmm. things that keeps users on the platform, and that's what they want. They want to keep
sure.
you on there as long as possible so that they can sell you those ads.
If I agree with somebody, I'll like it and say correct or
yeah.
weigh or move on. But if somebody I disagree with, you have to explain your point, and then you have
right.
more
you
hits.
You have to go back and forth,
more,
and then somebody else chimes
use.
In, and then you got to refute
exactly.
that point. Yeah, and it's important to remember as well that the algorithms and the things that big tech uses are created. A lot of people say, oh, well, AI can't be, artificial intelligence can't be racist or discriminatory or things of that nature. But algorithms just do what they're programmed to do.
Yeah.
And so if the individual, like if you're not taking some of the aspects of those things into account when you're programming the algorithms, they are only going to replicate things worse.
And so that's what this bill does. It requires companies to conduct impact assessments for bias, effectiveness, and other factors when using automated decision systems to make critical decisions. Basically, your stuff needs to work properly and not, I don't know, accidentally get your kid with a video of Peppa Pig getting its head cut off.
Yeah,
you know, which can happen. And
mm-hmm.
by the way, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. If you want to go and check that out, look up an article called "There's Something Wrong with the Internet."
Mm.
It is
mm-hmm.
it's informative, and it's not necessarily talking about how people are evil. It's just talking about how innocent systems are programmed the way that they are, and people
can take advantage of it.
A lot of times, you don't know how those systems end up working
right.
out, so you need to go and before, especially since technology moves at such an exponential rate, we need to be able to put systems in place and have people who understand how to put systems in place to actually safeguard us or to choose to safeguard. Because again, if you want to have a bunch of crazy content, you're that type of person, go for it. I want you to be able to
yeah.
to get that. Again, I don't want you to be able to blow up a building, but if you want to see some stuff that has already happened, I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm totally against censorship as well. So let's go to the phones and talk about some wonderful things with our buddy Jack from Merrimack. How you doing, Jack?
Hey, just peachy keen, as usual. I want to go back a little bit and talk a bit about the fraudulent electors.
Yeah.
And they're going to, of course, whine and scream, oh, this is political persecution. when they get charged. But, you know, Call and Merrick both have to, or Call and Garland both have to get on the stick, and they got to start charging these people. Because what's likely to happen in November is that the Republicans will steal the House by the egregious gerrymandering of the type we have in Wisconsin and voter suppression, all that sort of stuff. And then I'm pretty sure they're going to disband any committees, but they've learned from Wisconsin. You see, as you said, Wisconsin's a sort of a petri dish. And what they're likely to do is essentially suppress all the evidence. They're going to do exactly what they did here in Wisconsin when Walker cheated his way to the governorship, which is they're going to destroy all the evidence and all the records, and they'll probably attempt to legislate to make what was done legal, even though that probably won't pass. It may pass the House, but it won't get passed Biden, I'm sure. But that's what I foresee happening, and unless these AGs start getting on the stick and doing something about it, we're stuck with this kind of thing. They're going to keep on doing it until they succeed.
Yeah, pretty much, Jack. And I, again, the only hope I have as far as Merrick Garland goes, and someone told me this, is that as a prosecutor going after folks, his cases were leak-proof. You didn't hear a peep out of them until it happened, and then he had all of his ducks in a row, and just blam, here you go. So I'm hoping that it's just that he's just making sure he has all of his ducks in a row, and then he's just going to go, blam, here you go. But
I have a feeling that's got to be the case, just the way
it has to be.
The fact that this is so widespread.
I mean, look at what happened to Mueller. Mueller was known for being a really, really good investigator. That's why, like, he's one of those guys that would put up, like, he's known to be able to do that, to be able to put aside, I'm here for the law and justice and order, you know, that type of thing. And even his memo got screened by Bill Barr.
Yeah. Well, and Bill Barr spun the Mueller memo, like, crazy spin on that, because he came out and did this whole thing that, oh, there's nothing there, exonerated Trump. And once it actually got released, we found out that it actually said, in fact, the opposite, that there were 10 counts of obstruction of justice there. But Mueller himself found that he couldn't be the one to bring those charges. The instance here, there is no constraints on Merrick Garland to not bring charges if he finds the wrongdoing occurred. And so the fact
when
that
when and how, I don't think is a consideration for him.
Right. I believe that we will be seeing accountability.
It can't be in his mind, I don't think.
It'll be interesting to see how that accountability takes shape. But the fact that this we're getting leaks from this still, because the New York Times is the one that released this Tropas reporting. I don't know exactly if it was an open records request or what, how they got the emails and the legal memo from Chisbra to Tropas. It'll be interesting, because if that is a public document that they subpoenaed or open records requested, or that was previously shared through maybe leaks in the campaign saying, hey, I was watching this going, like Pence, where I saw this unfolding. It was happening in front of me. I did my best to stop it, but maybe Pence is the one that's sharing this stuff out. Who knows? But the fact that there are chinks in the armor of this plan, it has taken a very long time to get to where we are now. I wish it would have happened faster, but the steps and the stories that have been building over these last couple of weeks are really indicating that
something's moving.
Somebody is, and I believe a lot of somebodies are going to be held accountable for this plot and scheme that occurred to put in false electors in 7 states to try to overturn the election results.
Well, there's only going to be one thing for them to be able to tell them at the end of it when they have them dead to rights. It wasn't me. It was a deep fake.
It wasn't me. It was a deep fake.
It was somebody else. It was a deep fake.
See,
did you hear that story that came out? That maybe Russia was trying to put out some propaganda, some hoax about some.
Did I hear the story? I brought the story to you, Brian.
I know, brother. I'm trying to. I'm playing the. Did you hear this? Did you hear about this? Did you hear this?
Did you hear about
this? Did you see this?
Hey, it's Groundhog's Day.
Yeah, it's Groundhog Day, everybody. Did you know that? Did you know that?
But yeah, this was a pretty wild one because. So Brian,
so this is the rabbit hole I'm talking about, guys.
A little thing that you know, when we first launched this show, you'd kind of asked me about my background, and we shared your background of previously being on 414 Wisconsin, hosting a show. My past political experience. One of the things I don't talk a whole lot about, though, is while in school, I did receive a international studies global security degree. That was a lot of what I studied.
All right.
In school, I had originally, for my life, thought that I would go kind of into the Foreign Service, State Department, like that
Eagle
a lot.
Scout. Eagle Scout. I got you,
yep.
Brother.
But when I lived in D.C. for a summer, and although I love the city, I wasn't a huge fan of like
it does get
the monotony of kind of the nonprofits and bureaucracies and all of that stuff. And,
it's a bit oily.
It's a bit oily, but it gets very abstract.
Yes.
And to me, I was more concerned about a lot of the domestic things that were going on. It was the heart of the 2016 campaign when I was living there. So literally, we were going to determine whether or not we were sending the first woman to the White House or if a reality TV show president was about to be elected.
I wonder how that happened.
Yeah.
But we'll worry about that later.
Yeah, exactly. So this is all before all of the events that unfolded in 2016. But so... a lot of what I studied actually happened with the Crimean incursion that occurred in 2014 for Russia, and a lot of the different foreign policy events. I still keep a pretty close eye on, but I don't talk about it a whole lot because...
you're bogged down with everything else we got
there's
going
a lot,
on?
Yeah, there's a lot of other stuff going on. I'm Wisconsin to my core, and so Wisconsin is really where I find a lot of my focus and more of the day-to-day things that I can affect. But the fact that we are now seeing... deep fakes as a potential ploy to instigate war? This is insane. And
now,
so
I had come up with this idea to talk about separate from this incident, by the way, because I am a fan of the Mandalorian, and I'm watching the story of the Book of Boba Fett right now.
Yep.
And Chapter 6 last night featured a deep fake as an actor.
No, spoiler alert? Are we?
No, we're not going to spoiler alert it, but basically, if you watched the one where they get the plans, the Rogue One. Mm-hmm. If you watch Rogue One, you see. I'm not going to spoil. If you haven't seen Rogue One by now, you should. And if you haven't, who cares? Grand Moff.
I haven't seen it, but I'm totally fine.
Grand Moff Tarkin comes back. And they have him as basically a CGI.
Okay.
And so does Princess Leia.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see Princess Leia's face, like in the later. Like,
this was after Carrie Fisher passed.
After Carrie Fisher passed, or even during, I think, during while she was alive. But then when she passed, they also used her to show her when she was younger.
Gotcha.
But even then, you were like, okay, that's. That looks like it's CGI. Okay. You can tell. But last night I saw, oh my, that was really good. And it was scary. Like to the point, like there's a little geek nerd in me that's like, yee, squee, I get to see the thing. But at the same time, I'm like, oh no.
This is a deepfake.
Oh no. Because if they have that technology that can make me think that an actor from the 80s is still that same exact actor from the 80s, my goodness.
Well, it's apparently a technology that Putin is going to be potentially using, or I don't know anymore.
Has the ability
because
to use?
Has,
I don't know.
Has the plans to at least implement a potential deep fake Ukrainian attack on Russian officials to then use as a subplot to invade the Ukraine. So using a deepfake technology to then go and declare war, even though no attack on Russia by the Ukrainians.
There are a couple movies about this thing. This is sci-fi stuff, and this is the kind of thing that, and again, more so than just, you know, oh my God, it wasn't me getting peed on. That I don't care about. It's that people are already skeptical in the first place of their own reality as it is.
We're all on
now
edge.
Now you've got a good reason to forget. That's what's scary.
It's terrifying. And folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. This is not a deepfake. We are live. You can give us a call, 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back.